joyful we adore you, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before you, opening to the sun above.
Good to see all of you here this morning, and we do welcome you here, especially our guests. If we have any guests with us this morning, we do welcome you. It's good to have you with us. It's always good to be able to gather together and worship our Savior. On any time we can do that, it's a good day. So it is a good day today. I do have several announcements. I don't think I mentioned anything that wasn't on the slideshow, but like I say, always, just in case you missed it, just a few reminders. Wednesday night service is dismissed. Our Wednesday night service is dismissed this week. And we do have our Thanksgiving program at 8 o'clock on Thursday morning. So please make plans to attend that service at 8 o'clock on Thursday morning. Let me check, make sure I know we got several that do have announcements. Patrick, you want to go ahead and share your announcements?
Good morning. I'm going to echo some of the announcements that were on the screen. But before I do that, just update. 2 weekends ago, we had our youth retreat for our teenagers. Had a great turnout. Had a great time. We had one first-time commitment to the Lord and 5 rededications to the Lord that weekend. So we praise the Lord for that. It's nothing that we did, but the Lord was working in the hearts of the young people there and through the adults. And Jeb Green made a first-time commitment, so if you see Jeb today, give him a hug, shake his hand, and tell him how proud you are of him, and be praying for him. Also be praying for the 5 or 6 people, young people, that made rededications to the Lord during that weekend. We do have our youth dinner today, and young people, if you're here, or parents of young people, or just anyone who would like to help clean up and do all that stuff, just stick around. I know parents, if you don't want to do it, get your kids to stay and help to do it, because this is for them. This is for them. It also helps you out, because the money that we raise helps send our kids to camp and to team missions for spring break and stuff. So we thank you in advance for volunteering. And no Lighthouse activities this Wednesday. Just be here Thursday morning, bright and early. And Wednesday morning, we'll be leaving at 7 o'clock to go to Charlotte to visit the Billy Graham Museum and to work at the Operation Christmas Child Processing Center in Charlotte. Anybody can go with us to the Billy Graham Museum, but we only have 14 spots for the Operation Christmas Child Processing Center, and all those spots at the moment are full. So be praying for us as we travel on Wednesday. We leave at 7, and we should be back by 9 o'clock that night. So remember us in your prayers that day. And also, Parents Night Out, you saw on the board. It's an opportunity for you to drop your kids off. They'll be in good hands. My mom's heading this up. 12 and up can volunteer. And if you're 12 and up, that's kids and adults, you can sign up on a sheet that looks something like this. It'll be in the back hallway. And parents, if you think this is something that you want to participate in, just drop your kids off and leave. That sign-up sheet's in the back hallway. You put your kids' names down. That way we can prepare food and other activities. We will have a nursery. We'll have stuff for toddlers, and we'll have stuff for all age groups. We're not just babysitting. There will be programs. There will be Bible study and activities, crafts, arts, all that good stuff. And the cost is donation. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart, just drop a check, a little bit of money. We'll be happy to take it. And that's also the cost for our youth dinner today, is a donation. If you don't have anything today, still come eat. If you do, and you can give, feel free. And one last thing, if you did go to the youth retreat, your T-shirts are in. Okay, that's adults and the kids. I have your shirts. See me, and I'll get them to you. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you, Pastor. I believe Dr. Blank had a missions update he'd like to share.
Yes, by the way, Patrick said drop your kids off. Be sure to come back and get them again after it's all. He did not say come back and pick them up, but you want them to come back to her. Okay. You saw on the screen about the Ukrainian crisis. It is becoming surmountingly great. Russia is just determined through every unspeakable way to try to get the Ukrainian people back under their regime. They've been an independent people, so would you pray for them? There are numbers of refugees are resulting because of Russia's unscrupulous way of trying to take that country back. The Cranes that we do support, Dr. and Mrs. Jeff Crane, has made it known concerning an urgency. They have had 20-some children already, orphans in their facilities, and they just got word that at least 35 more refugees are begging to come. They have nowhere to go. It's cold winter over there. You think it's cold here? We haven't seen it at all. And they're homeless. They're without things like that. And so they're going to take them in. And they're just asking you to pray for them and any would like to give toward that. By the way, our committee on missions did have a phone conference. And because of your faithful giving, folks, to our missions program through the Faith Promise program, we had enough in the balance that we could send them a $1,000 check toward helping to buy blankets, clothing, food. But anybody else who may still, in addition to that, want to help, just make the check out to the Turbyville Southern Methodist Church and earmark it. Be sure to earmark it. Crane Refugee Fund, Crane Refugee Fund, and that'll go to our missions treasurer, and he'll go ahead and send that on to Crane's mission board to be sent there. We need to act quickly at that point, but again, thank you for your faithful support. Because of that, we will be able to help with this particular amount, but others may want to do an addition to that, okay? Be much in prayer. It's a great opportunity to share the gospel, but it can be very trying in their moments at this time. Thank you.
I had one other announcement. Ms. Susan Anderson asked me to mention that anybody who brought any food by to her house, she has those dishes back for you, and they're back in the kitchen area. So if you want to pick those up this afternoon, you can do that. If you want to donate them to the church, just leave them back there. But I believe it is the kitchen area. Is that right? So if you want to pick those up today, they're back there in the kitchen area. But any other announcements this morning from the congregation? Any other thing you'd like to share, any praises? Okay. If not, let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we are thankful for this day, and we thank you, Lord, for just bringing us here together. We thank you, Lord, for this place that we have to come together and the freedom we have to do so. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. Help us to always recognize you as the source of all our blessings. May we never be proud or puffed up thinking that we have accomplished anything on our own, but recognize you as the source of all our blessings. So we give you thanks for the fact that we're here this morning, that we have life, we have an opportunity to be here and to worship you. And I pray now that you would help us to focus on just that. Put aside all distractions, Lord. Prepare our hearts and our minds for this time together. Help us to take what is spoken this morning, apply it to our lives so that we can better serve you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Truly, this is again the day the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing in it. We have this privilege of worshiping together in such a beautiful place, but also under the beauty of the Holy Spirit of God. With that, I invite you to join with us in the call to worship. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving, followed by the chorus medleys that will be on the screen this morning. Let us stand together, joining, "I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart." Sing it with the joy of Christ in your lives together. Great is the Lord, he is holy and just. Singing together. What a mighty God we serve together. God truly is an awesome God. Together singing. While you're standing, greet those around you and wishing him God's blessing this morning.
Let's pray. Lord, this morning we are so very thankful. We're thankful that we have a dry and warm place in which we can gather to sing to you and to praise you and to worship you this morning. You have blessed us with so many things, and Lord, it would be wrong for us to take them for granted. So this morning, we say thank you. We say thank you this morning because even in the midst of a world that is so full of darkness and hate, Lord, through your love and through your light, Lord, we pray that we will be able to shine, Lord, on this world in a way that they will see that the victory doesn't come in our selfishness, but it comes as we give our lives to you at Calvary, as we accept the grace and the mercy that you extend to us through your Son, Jesus. And so this morning, we're asking that your Holy Spirit now descend upon this gathering, that will open our eyes indeed to the love and the light that you want to give to us. We're thankful today for those that have answered the call and have gone to faraway places to serve you and Lord, to make a difference. We thank you for the safe travels for Steve and Anthea Love as they've arrived in Zimbabwe, and we're asking for your grace to be upon them as they begin their ministry there. We pray for Jeff and Donna Crane, and Lord, it's a difficult situation that they find themselves within, but it's not too difficult for you. And we believe in your grace, and we know that, Lord, as they're facing things that just is more than they can conceive or think of, and Lord, their minds are racing, we're praying that you fill them with a sense of peace and direction to the way that they need to proceed. Because we know, Lord, you're going to use them, Lord, to make a difference right there in the Ukraine. And Lord, we're thankful today. We're thankful to be in your presence. We're thankful to hear you now speak to us. And we believe that as we worship you in spirit and truth, as we open ourselves to you, that you are going to speak and that you are going to direct and that you are going to call us closer to you than we've ever been before. So truly, Lord, we've sang about entering your gates with thanksgiving and praise. Now may we come with all that we are, our lives and everything that we are, and may we enter your courts and give you the praise and the glory that is due you alone. We pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen.
Did you notice in the bulletin we're going to have, supposed to have a duet by Maddie and Sadie, but I believe it's going to end up a little trio. Would you girlies come and bless our hearts, please? Come on down.
By the water, I shall not be moved. victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Thank you, girls. That was very lovely. Thank you. Thank you. Ushers, if you would please come forward to receive our tithes and offerings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we do stop to thank you for all you've blessed us with. And we ask now that as we give this portion back that you would take it, that you would use it for your honor, for your glory, and for the furtherance of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Again, we invite the congregation to join with us as we sing hymn number 559. Immediately following this, before the message, our male quartet will come and share a special selection for the glory of the Lord. Again, number 559, come ye thankful people, come, and let us stand together as we worship with thankful hearts today. Come ye thankful, singing together. Thank you, church, and you may be seated.
This is just an observation, but I think I figured something out while the girls were singing this morning. I need them to stand up here while I'm preaching all the time, because y'all look so much differently when they're up here. And I think maybe we ought to look that way more than we do in church. Now, I understand there's a time for seriousness and a time to recognize whose presence we are entering into. But I'm pretty sure that heaven is going to be joyous, and I'm pretty sure there's going to be lots of smiles going. So maybe we ought to start practicing before we get there. And so maybe to do that, maybe I'll ask the girls to come stand beside me while I preach for a while. But anyway, just an observation. And guys, I'm sorry, until the very end, they didn't give you that look either. Maybe that was it. Maybe they were just in awe of the quality. But they didn't give you that look to the end. But I think it's okay to enjoy being in God's presence. I truly do. Maybe it's right that I wanted to start with what a little boy once observed. And a little boy once told his mother, he said, "Mother, I don't understand why God put all the vitamins in spinach instead of ice cream where they belong." And I think that's a profound and wonderful insight by a little guy. Why put it in spinach? Why not put all these vitamins and things that we thoroughly enjoy? And though we may not be asking the same question about vitamins and spinach, I think we ask the same thing a lot, though, as we go through life. We're really wanting to know, why does God do things the way that God does them? I mean, why is it, for instance, that God allows evil to exist? Why is it that God lets bad things happen to good people? Now, to me, the more profound question is, why does God allow good things to happen to bad people for me? Why does the Bible so plainly teach us, even amongst all the unfairness, all the injustice, all the terrible evil, why does the Bible teach us that we as God's people are supposed to be thankful? Now, the Apostle Paul gave some directions to the church in Thessalonica about how to live and how to live out their faith. And of course, we're good conservative evangelicals, and so we believe that Paul was inspired to write those very words. Now, he wouldn't have thought of it that way. He was just writing a letter to some friends at a church and trying to help them live out and to take the next step of faith. But we believe that Paul was inspired, and that's why we still come to these words written to a church that no longer exists today. But we come to these words and we read them, and we know that God, through these words, can still speak to us today. And so we come, and here are a couple of things that Paul said to the church. He said, be joyful always, pray continually, or as some says, without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Be joyful, be praying, be thankful, but how can we, and really, why should we? Now, one of the three I understand fully about being praying all the time without ceasing. Absolutely, I need to do that. In fact, I need to pray more than I do. I understand that one. I even like the joyful part. I want my life to be a joyful life. But I got to tell you that sometimes there's a part of this idea when Paul says, be thankful in all circumstances. It's like, ooh, wait a minute. Thankful? I mean, to be thankful means that we are grateful because we have received something. You know, if someone gives you a cookie or a compliment, you say, well, thank you, because you've received something. But the honest truth, don't you love that phrase, by the way, the honest truth? As if there's some other type of truth. But the honest truth is this. There are some things that really stretch me when it comes to being thankful for. At times I simply want to say, whoa, whoa, Paul, stop. Don't write it. Don't back up the cart. Don't say that, because how on earth can we truly give thanks in all the circumstances? I mean, sure, yeah, there's lots of times we can give thanks. We can give thanks when God is moving and working in us as a church and we see the hand of God. Why not be thankful? I got to tell you, every Sunday morning, I'm so thankful to God when I see, when Dr. Blank dismisses the kids and it's time for them to go to the worship. Man, you ought to see it. Here they come down both sides. And they're eager to get there. And they've got smiles on their faces. And they can't wait to go worship God on their level. And there's no problem giving thanks for that. Because there's a lot of churches that would give thanks if just have a fraction of the kids that we have today. We can even give thanks when our families are healthy and everything's going well. You know, when God's working out the details of our lives the way that we want God to work them out, well, there's no problems there. But life is more than these times. You know it. I don't have to tell you. You know that it is. Sometimes life just flat out hurts. Sometimes we're touched by sorrow and hardship or death. Truth is, sometimes God doesn't work out the details of our lives the way that we want God to work them out. Sometimes we don't get the job that we wanted, or sometimes our children get into trouble. Sometimes things aren't going good as far as health in our families. Sometimes there's difficult and uncomfortable circumstances that enter into our lives. So what was Paul thinking? Give thanks in all circumstances. It helps a little bit when I read that carefully. In all circumstances. You know, draw a circle in your mind. Picture it. And that circle represents some sort of hardship or sorrow. And you're inside of it. Well, I can still give thanks because I know that God's in there with me, helping me get through it. Paul didn't say give thanks for it, but he said give thanks in it. Well, that helps a little bit. It helps because I know this. I may not know why some things happen, why God puts vitamins in spinach, or why bad things happen to good people, but I know this. I know that God is with me every step of the journey that I take. I know that I never travel alone, that He's right there with me. I may not know what tomorrow holds, but I know the one that does. I know that God's grace is enough. I just posted it on somebody's line this past week when they're really struggling with something that they'd been involved with. And look, I don't know how that God's grace is always enough, but I found that it absolutely always is. I know that in the good or the bad, that God's never going to leave me, that He's never going to run out on me. And these truths help me to be thankful even in the difficult moments of my life. I know that God is not detached from what is going on or happening to me. I know that God is not asleep or on break, but He's right there watching the whole time. I've shared with you before that I love the 121st Psalm. You know, I lifted my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? And the psalmist said, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. And he says, the one who watches over you neither slumbers nor sleeps. Understand, God don't go on break. 24/7, God's right there with us 365 days every year for all eternity. We know that God is right there with us. And He's more than just shaking His head and thinking, boy, you know, that's too bad for old Rodney there. That's too bad. No, God's presence transforms us. It does something in us. We can't do it for ourselves, but somehow His presence, His Spirit moving within us is doing things in us, and we don't even understand it. You know, the truth is, look at David's life. King David, I mean, parts of his life were flat out unfair and B-A-D, bad. I mean, early on, he didn't go out and politic to be king of Israel. God chose him, sent Samuel to anoint him. And he didn't run out instantly and say, okay, Saul, you're done. No, he simply said, well, in God's timing. In fact, he served faithfully with great genuineness and integrity, King Saul. But what did Saul repay him with? Jealousy and trying to kill him. And so David spent years, not a day, not a week, not months, but he spent years on the run simply because God had chosen him to be king. That doesn't sound fair to me. And on top of that, the truth is, he also knew about family heartbreak. Look at his life. I mean, some of his kids did some things to each other, to themselves, that were despicable. Broke his heart. His oldest son tried to usurp the throne and because of it was killed. Broke his heart. And yet David is one of the most prolific psalm writers of all the Old Testament. And one of the themes that he's always talking about, how that God was not only his strength, but because he was his strength, he would give thanks and praise. David said, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him. I am helped, and my heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. See, I know that as Christians, we can do what is otherwise impossible for us because we have the Spirit of the living Christ in us. We may think sometimes that we're going under for the third time, you know, and not going to make it back to the top, but it's never true. Not if God's with us. Through the prophet Isaiah, God said these words. He said, fear not, for I've redeemed you, and I have summoned you by name, and you're mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. Life gets intense, but God is more intense. I mean, think about how God transforms what's going on and allows us to do what we couldn't. Look, Daniel was supposed to be kitty food one day. You know that. Thrown into the lion's den because of his faith. But just strangely enough, somehow the lions weren't hungry that day. God transforms what's going on around us. Think about Nehemiah. He was sent to do something that was really going to be impossible with all the obstacles and all the oppositions. He's supposed to rebuild the wall, and yet within 50 some odd days, the wall's rebuilt, and even the enemies knew to give glory and credit to God because God transforms what we do when we're living for Him. Think about John, the apostle, you know, the beloved one. He's isolated on the island of Patmos because of his faith. He's left there to die of exposure. And yet, even in that moment of total unfairness, God opens heaven and lets him look inside. See, God is more intense. God transforms. Someone's last words usually are pretty significant. Not always, but sometimes. Conrad Hilton, you know, the big Hilton hotels, motels. His last words reportedly were, please leave the shower curtain inside of the tub. I don't know if that's true, but that's what they say. Nathan Hale, this is probably a little more serious. I regret that I have but one life to lose for my country. Truth is, most of the time our last words, if we know we're dying, and these are our last, we want them to count. We want them to be significant. We want them to truly identify, you know, something significant about us. The last words that Jesus spoke to his apostles before he ascended up into glory was this: I will never leave you. I am with you always. Never will I leave you. Never forsake you. That's one of the repeated themes of the Bible. Look, the truth is we may be surrounded by all kinds of terrible circumstances that we don't like, but God is with us. That much I know. We, you know, may not be smart enough to understand it, but we need to be smart enough to lean. J. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary of old, said this: God uses people who are weak enough and feeble enough to lean upon him. So may we be smart enough to lean upon the Lord this morning, to give thanks even in all circumstances, not because of the circumstances, but because God is with us. And even in all those terrible circumstances, God is saying, come a little closer. Come a little closer to me, and I'll help you. We're not denying this morning. Please hear, I am not denying this morning that there are things that touch our lives that we do not understand and that stretch us and hurt terribly. But we believe, as God's people this morning, that even amidst all the junk and unfairness and evil and bad, that somehow God makes good out of it. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. I'll confess I don't understand it, but I'm saying I believe it. Behind that verse is the very simple belief that we believe that God is God and that somehow that God is in control. That verse does not deny that evil exists and bad things happen, but it does tell us that God's at work even then. That verse proclaims to us that God can overcome even the most tragic moments of our lives. In reading Dr. Billy Graham's book, Facing Death, many years ago, he tells a story about a young man by the name of Kent. Kent was at his crusade in Los Angeles, and at the age of 9, came forward when they sang "Just As I Am" at the end of the crusade, like thousands did. He came forward, gave his life. That's young, I admit. But his parents said, you could just tell something happened in his heart that life, that day. It was, and he lived for Jesus. In his senior year at high school, he wrote a thesis paper on what it meant to be a Christian and how that being a Christian was about following Jesus wherever he called, and it was his plan to go into aeronautics engineering in order to become a missionary pilot. That's what he was going to do with his life. It's late in his senior year. He's taking a buddy up on a quick flight in his new plane. It crashed on takeoff and killed both of them. Now, I don't know any way to look at any parents and try to explain it. I would never do that. But I believe in God's word. His parents, and sometimes it takes a while for you to understand something, his parents would a few years later testify to the difference that God used in Kent's life. Many of Kent's friends who had been playing around at church got real serious about God and faith when their friend died. A doctor that was simply a friend of the family came to the service, gave his life to Jesus, and is now serving overseas as a missionary doctor because he, in his own words, of the peace and the power that existed in Kent's mother and father. Mother and father, they've got a ministry today that ministers to parents who lose children. And I got to tell you, I can't even conceive how terrible that is. But I believe in God. And I believe even in the most unfair, difficult, painful thing in all of life, I believe that somehow God is still at work. Evil tries to pull us away from God during these times, but if we look to God, we'll find grace even in those moments. I mean, who likes hardships when you're going through them? Truth is, I was reading how that in the rainforest that the growth there is just really fast and trees grow quickly. They don't live long because they're soft wood and they decay. They're susceptible, but they grow really fast. Conversely, oftentimes the trees or the forest on a mountain, they grow much, much slower, much, much harder because they have to withstand so much more of the elements. And the point was made, we may not understand the hardships, but in the end, they make us stronger. Not because we've endured them, but because during them, God said, come here, I love you, and I'll take care of you. And the closer we move to God, the more we begin to find his strength at work in our lives. Look, Paul learned something, I think, that was radical. We talked a little bit about it last week, about how he had that thorn in the flesh. And we said, you know, he begged God. He said, I beg God, take it away from me. And I can hear the apostle praying, you know. But in time, I think he learned a deeper blessing. I think he learned that life with a thorn was better because of God's grace and strength than life without it. Because he found the grace and the presence of God doing something in him with it that he would never have known without it. In the worst of times, the hardest of moments, God is not absent. But God is with us. And God will use us and help us to better understand what's happening to us. See, I'm thankful. I don't understand a lot of it. I've got lots of questions that, you know, if it matters when I get to heaven, I'll ask. But the truth is, the things I know on this earth are still the things that keep me going forward today. Give thanks in all circumstances. How can we and why should we? Why would Paul write to them, be joyful always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus? How can we? Because God is with us. Why should we? Because God is with us. And that truly does change everything. Our God is not on break. Our God is not absent when it happens. Our God doesn't want us to hurt. But our God isn't willing to just let hurt remain hurt for us, but willing to take it and transform it into something else. As we enter into a time of thanksgiving, oh, we've got plenty to be thankful for, I know. But never stop giving thanks and praise to God because of his presence in your lives. Lord, this morning we bow before you and we are confronted, we're challenged by life so many times. The truth is, some of those challenges have only proved that our faith hasn't been all that it should have been. But Lord, even in the midst of pain, even in the midst of suffering and those moments of deep hurt, Lord, help us to recognize even more. Help us to be smart enough to lean upon you and to allow you to draw us closer, allowing your grace to have full work within our lives. Because we believe so much in you, even when we don't understand the world, we believe in you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand as we sing this morning.
Thank you, Pastor, for that very challenging time to message in Christ's presence in all circumstances. Turning together to hymn number 557, in thanksgiving, let us praise him. We'll sing all three verses because each one shares a reason for praising and thanking him. Let's sing this with the praise of our hearts to our present God.
We have so much to be thankful for. And just a quick update that I should have shared earlier, but little Annabelle Coker, some of you heard, there's some issues. She was rushed to Columbia, but if all continues as it is, the dramatic turnaround says that she may come home tomorrow. Amen. Amen. There is so much to be thankful for. Truthfully, aren't you thankful for the prayers of God's people? Because God listens to us. I'm amazed at that. When I listen to some of my prayers, but I'm amazed that he listens and he cares and he acts. God bless you. Have a great day today.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I'm inviting you back for the fellowship dinner following the song. Thank you, Lord. Let me suggest before we leave that we have the word of blessing here right together at the sanctuary, and then you go back and ready to serve. We can eat together. Will you join me as we thank God for our meal? Father, thank you for all your manifold blessings. As the pastor so ably and challengingly shared, help us to be thankful even for those blessings that may be packaged in difficult moments. And now as we gather to continue our fellowship in the fellowship hall, I pray your blessing upon the food has been prepared and blessed to our bodies and us to your service. For the ministry that it will be going to through our youth projects, just blessing those as well. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name with thanksgiving. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you, church, and you are dismissed.